I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Now, if you've ever had the good fortune to sit up close at a flamenco performance at a late-night cafe, you may have even felt the wind of that whirling shawl, watched the flash of arm and leg, and felt the pounding of the percussion and the guitar. Flamenco carries with it all the stamps of southern Spain. The music itself is thought to be only a couple of hundred years old, but its cultural influences reach far back into the Gypsy, the Roma, as well as the Jewish, Moorish, and Arabic traditions. Not long ago, some people thought flamenco was in trouble, that it was becoming something of a pale tourist copy of the original steamy dance and song. Now, one of Seville's top choreographers has been working to change that. Maria Pajes has been dancing since she was a child, but in the last 13 years, she's been running her own company. She and her dancers are challenging some of the traditional notions of flamenco. So, Connection listeners, what is flamenco to you? Is there room for experimentation? Is there room for storytelling? And when new life is breathed into a traditional dance form, what's the risk of losing something of its origin, its history, or its authenticity? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio is Maria Pajes. We're so happy to have you here.
Hello, good morning.
Now, the music that we're listening to now is quite traditional music. Am I right?
Yes, it's very traditional, yes.
Zapateado, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, very good pronunciation. No,
you're going to watch me this hour. It's going to get worse and worse. This was what flamenco meant to so many people, Maria. But there was another piece of music which some time ago you were listening to, which began to change your own ideas of what you could dance to, of what flamenco might be. And maybe we can listen to a little bit of that now. Maria Callas is not the sort of voice, as beautiful as it is, that I would associate with the late-night cafe of flamenco. What made you think, Maria, that you could connect the speed and the percussion and the life of flamenco with something that sounds so different?
Yeah, I remember I heard this music my first time. I was in an airport waiting a flight to go on tour, like always, but you know, we travel all the time. And I had in my headphones this song, and I start to cry because I was so emotional to her with this Casta Diva. So in that moment, I was so inspired to dance. You know, dance in flamenco, it's not only zapateado, it's movement, it's to be free when you move. And when I heard Maria Callas in this interpretation, so fantastic, I saw, oh my God, I need to dance with this. I feel I can dance with this music.
But it would still be flamenco dance, or it would be something different?
You know, I can tell you that, but the only thing I can dance is flamenco. I don't know to dance another thing. Even when I go to the discotheque, I feel so bad because I can dance that. So it's the only way I can express my dance is flamenco, is my original.
No, I want to hear just one more piece of music before we listen to some of the musicians who, I should explain to our listeners, are here in the studio with us, and I'm anxious to hear their music. But when we talk about taking music which seems almost the opposite of flamenco and making that a part of the dance, here's an example of something that you have also worked with.
Ah. Smell like a brewery, looking like a tramp. Ain't got a quarter, got a postage stamp. Couldn't find a clock, shadow boxing all around the town. Talking with the old man, sleeping on the ground. Beside the booting now, zooting now, hooting now, cone. Sharing his apartment with a telephone pole. fishnet stocking, spike heel shoes, striptease, pricktease, car keys, blues.
Now, I have to tell you, I'm a particular fan of Tom Waits, but when Sean, my producer here, said that this is also part of Maria Paje's flamenco, I said, no, that's impossible.
But you think it's impossible? Why? I work with Jose Maria Sanchez. He is the director, scenic director for few choreographies I did. He said, you know Tom Waits? And I said, you heard about him. So listen this music. I start to listen. I think in the first second I heard this music, the rhythm is so close to tango's flamenco. Hmm. And I say, probably Tom Waits don't know that. One day I has to tell him how in this song, he's so flamenco. Is the rhythm is fantastic to dance flamenco.
He's been called many things, but flamenco is not one of them, I suspect.
But when I heard this music, I take my percussion place in that moment, Manuel Soler, and I tell him, Manuel, you can hear that. And he start to play with him with this recording. And he remain amazing about how Tom Waits can be flamenco. So I didn't work too much to dance that. I think Tom Waits did the most.
All right, let's get a bit of an example from here in the studio of what you're doing with your own musicians. Because aside from experimenting and using music from all over the globe, you also have your own musicians, and when you travel, yeah. and also some composing that's going on as well. This is not just a group of people with us here in the studio who play the traditional flamenco pieces, is it?
You know, in the company we work together very well, like a family. And I normally, when we work together, I like to be them the liberty to be free to create him or her. I have Ana Ramon, the singer. He used sometimes his word to sing even in my show, and they very good composer like Jose Carrillo Fitti. So you can hear all the time on tour what they compose and what they create, and we live like a family, so they have his space to do that too.
All right, now we're going to hear a contrast here. We're going to start with Cantinas, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And what should we listen for in this? This is more traditional Cantinas?
Yeah, this is a Cantinas. It's a style who La Niña de los Peines was a singer in the 30s, 40s, and Ana, he can try, he sing now Cantinas in this style, so you can hear the style is like old, but like in this time we can sing that
little,
too.
Okay, can we listen to a
bit
of it?
Yeah,
yeah,
we can do. Vamos a hacer la cantina, venga, vámonos.
I'm reluctant to clap here because I'm sitting across the table from three professional clappers.
Yeah, we have here the three dancers of the company, and they are today for clap. And we have the percussion player.
Yes.
He's Chiqui, and he play the cajon too.
One amazing guitar and one amazing singer as well. So
yeah.
Six. Have I got that? Six plus you and me. Now, We wanted to go quickly to another piece of music, Si Yo Pudiera. Is that right?
Yes, Si Yo Pudiera is a composition of José Carrillo Fitti, the guitar we can hear here. And it's a tango. It's another style of flamenco.
Now, tango was, in my understanding, wasn't always thought of as flamenco music, right? This is a shift that you have made, saying, no, we can... use this for flamenco? Is this...
No, tango is a style, flamenco style. It's the same name of the tango argentino, but it's nothing to be... tango is original, probably from Africa, like the rhythm.
Right.
Come from, we are very close to Africa, Andalusia. So, and probably it's come from Africa, the rhythm. It's in a particular flamenco style. Even if the name is the same of the tango argentino, but it's nothing to do.
Shall we listen to a little bit
of
it?
Yeah, okay, of great. Course. Vamos, sí, vamos con los tangos.
Chance to listen to a little bit of what's happening in the world of flamenco music in with the musicians and the company of Maria Pajes. We have to step away for a short break. We're back with more music, more conversation about flamenco. We'd like to have you in on the conversation. 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. And this is the music of Paco de Lucía. And like the work of Maria Pajes, Paco de Lucía and his music caused something of a stir, a shift in the sound of flamenco. He was opening the door to, for example, electric instruments, a little bit more exotic percussion. Thank you. Like Sabicas and Ramon Montoya before him, Paco was a flamenco pioneer, just as Maria Pajes is a flamenco pioneer today. Connection listeners, in your view, how much can an art like this evolve and still stay connected to its roots? Our number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Back once again to Maria Pajes. Is there a danger that you go too far, that the music that you play loses some of its original connection to traditional flamenco?
No, I don't think that, because I know where I come from, and I know my origin, I know my education in flamenco. So this is my inspiration always. But it's not too far. You know, I like to try. I always curious to try things. And I think the time and the history to we can tell us in the future if this is all right or not.
You have said in the past that you want to take apart some of the clichés of flamenco. Well, give me an example of a cliché that you want to get rid of.
You know, I knew so many people when they heard only the word flamenco, they say immediately, oh, toreador, ole. That is, and sometimes I feel so depressed about that, because I know for even political reason, people use that way to know Spain, like a Spanish folkloric way, flamenco, you know. And that, I think, was really bad for us and for our identity, because we're not that anymore.
Joining us now on the phone from the University of California, Riverside, Walter Clark. He's a professor of musicology, and you should know, Maria, that Walter is also a big fan of flamenco, a student of flamenco guitar himself, having studied and performed with singers and dancers both in the United States and Spain. Walter, welcome to the program.
Hello, nice to be here.
I understand that if we look at the career of Maria Pajes, you're one of these people who originally saw Maria up on the stage in Riverdance with all the Irish musicians, and you thought to yourself at that time, what's going on?
Well, I may have had some reservations only because, like so many people, I was used to seeing flamenco in its traditional context, and that's what she's talking about. But we live in a new world now. And ever since 1975 and the death of Franco, Spain has opened up tremendously, and it has incorporated itself completely and fully into the global community, and the arts have followed suit. And the rest of us are simply going to have to catch up, because what she's doing is fantastic, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. Listening to the music that you've been playing and hearing her comments has convinced me that she's riding the horse in the direction that it's running, and that's the only way to ride.
But, Maria, I thought that there had to be three pieces to flamenco. You had to have the song, the cante. You had to have the dance. And you had to have the guitar. And if you took any one of those away, it wasn't flamenco anymore. Is that wrong?
You say if it's not the guitar or if it's not flamenco. But, you know, for many years, flamenco from the beginning, from the origin, is born a guitar, a voice, like song, a dance together. And they go together like a block together. They develop it together. But in our times, and is the music go in one way and dance go in another way to develop it more. You know, like music is, the market of music is very big. It's a different way to develop it. The dance is always more in theaters, more music is in discos and discograph companies. It's another world. So we have now, dance is, can be developed. No, without considering the flamenco music, of course, because we go together for all our life. But we can develop it more in the dance way, like choreography, like other style of dance, like contemporary dance, like, you know, like to represent flamenco dance in a theater. So it's a big, big step in that way. And so we have many ways to develop a dance in different ways, the music, the flamenco music. So it's still flamenco, even if we go not together.
Is it fair, let me ask Walter this question, is it fair to look at flamenco and other dance forms as something which really only has to evolve, that if it changes, then becomes something of a caricature?
Well, evolution, it's not a matter of whether or not something has to evolve. It's going to evolve. That's the nature of life. That's the nature of the creative process. One thing that I'm convinced of is that through her appearances in Riverdance, she brought a lot of people into the flamenco world. She created a lot of aficionados, lovers of flamenco, who wanted to know more about the art form. And what's interesting is that we often think in terms of dichotomous terms, tradition versus innovation. But it's really tradition and innovation. You have to have both. Without innovation, tradition becomes obscure and lifeless. But without tradition, innovation has nothing to push off of. The irony here is that innovation, her innovations, have invigorated the traditional flamenco style, because once people get through the door into the mansion of flamenco, and she's that doorway, she makes it accessible and understandable to a younger generation. Once they're in the mansion, then they explore all of these different rooms. Oh, well, there's Civicas, there's Ramon Montoya, there's Carmen Amaya, you know? And then they begin to discover all of these various things and enrich and support and invigorate and perpetuate the tradition. So that's what's going on. It's a dynamic. It's not a dichotomy.
Yeah, I'm very agreed with you, because that is my philosophy to create, because I know very well flamenco is a popular art, and we have that popular art because the tradition exists, and we have to be considerate always tradition, but with evolution. I completely agree. I need to say something about Riverdance, because many people connect me with Riverdance, and I'm very happy for that, but Riverdance is only a small part of my career. I did that. It's very big, because it became a very big success. But you know, I did that because I started with Bill Whelan, the composer. We do very good work together. And the rest, I only did that. The rest was, you know, the public and the market. And I'm very happy for that. I'm very happy to bring people to be aficionados for flamenco. But, you know, I work very hard outside Riverdance. I always work very hard in the parallel way of Riverdance, and I create many things outside Riverdance. And it's, if you see, it's nothing to do with Riverdance. So it's only a small part, big for public, but for my career, it's only a small part. I'm very happy to be there, but I did a lot of work outside that. It may be more interesting for me, like in create point of view.
I wonder if we can hear a little bit more music from your people here in the in the studio. Now, this would be, Mágico Lugar, is that right?
Yeah, Mágico Lugar is another composition of José Carrillo.
Who's here with us?
Yeah, he is with us.
José's on the guitar. Yeah.
And Ana Ramón is the singer. They worked with me many years ago in my company, and so we can hear that. It's a very nice composition.
Now, just before we hear it, I want you to do something for me, because the people on the radio get the opportunity to listen to this wonderful music, but I need you to put a picture in their head while they're listening to it. When this music is playing, what do you do on the stage? Is it one dancer, many dancers? What would we be watching if we were listening?
Yeah, for that, sometimes when you hear a music, you can, when I create, I need to imagine. So the imagination is the best way to create, of course. So if you hear this music, you can see one dancer and maybe another three dancer more. So they four together, and after we put all together like 10 dancers, and after we go and rest only a solo dancer. So we have only imagined. I'm sure other people can hear now. If they hear this music, can imagine many things.
All right.
Adriana, vaya Betty. dulcemente y ahí donde no es hipermeo, ahí donde auto descubrimos el amor. Seguir viviendo en este mundo de locura donde ya no entiendo nada y la mentira se disfraza de verdad. Ay, por eso me rebelo, por eso yo quiero perderme contigo mi sueño, quiero volver a besar tus labios, sentir tu piel sobre mi piel, quiero tener junto cada amanecer, quiero volver a besar tus labios, sentir sobre mi piel, quiero tenerte de nuevo mi brazo, despertar junto cada amanecer.
That's a beautiful piece of music. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's the music. You have to imagine the dancing of the company of Maria Bajes. Connection listeners, a chance to listen to something new that's going on in the cutting edge of flamenco this hour. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We have our first caller. Charles is joining us now from his big truck in North Carolina. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling.
Well, that was really great. You if you take and go off the TV, you know, from what we used to see on the TV and the old westerns, you know, you can imagine her dancing around and stuff while you listen to it. So there's a picture for you.
Thanks for that. It's actually easier for me in the studio when I'm watching them. Tell me what you think of what Maria's doing here.
I think it's great. I like to check out all the different kinds of music. I like to go to Borders and check out their international section. And seeing as I'm not doing much but sitting here in my seat driving down the road, you know, I listen to all kinds of music. And I really like Oscar Lopez a lot. I have quite a few of his CDs, but he's not big on vocals.
Do you play any flamenco yourself, Charles?
No, I've got a nylon string guitar and I've been trying to learn. I'm Segovia and learning classical and I've tried, but it's hard. there's a whole different style to like flamenco in the guitar and the way your fingers and the whole thing on flamenco versus classical, but it's pretty neat. I've tried a couple of licks, and I'm just not that good at it.
Charles, I want to thank you for calling in.
All right, very good. And I'm going to check out the website and see if I can find out where she's going to perform at. And I about fell off my seat when she was talking about Tom Waits in flamenco.
Yeah, Tom Waits and flamenco. It's kind of an interesting mix, but that's what we like to do for you here at The Connection. And I'm glad you mentioned the website because it's important. If people are looking for information about Maria Bajes, where she's performing, who's performing with her, the schedule, there'll be a link. All that information is on our website. We're at theconnection.org. You are listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Walter, let me bring you back into the conversation here just briefly. I'm interested in knowing, can you measure, can you see in this country the effect of a sort of resurgence of interest in flamenco?
Well, absolutely. You know, the flamenco phenomenon has been brewing at various levels of intensity for decades. I remember when I was growing up in Minnesota in the 60s, Carlos Montoya was the final word in flamenco performance, especially in Las Vegas, you know, or Los Angeles. He introduced a sort of Hollywood style of flamenco, and he popularized it in this country. And I was drawn into flamenco because of Montoya, and then I eventually discovered other things. But compared to what's happening now, that was nothing. Flamenco is a huge phenomenon in the United States because of Maria and other performers in the way that they are connecting the traditional art form to the kind of music that people are used to listening to. They can relate to it. It sounds familiar enough to them. The hardcore flamenco puro, you know, cante hondo of the traditional school would be hard for most Americans to relate to. And she has bridged that gulf and brought people in, and I think it's fantastic. It's real flamenco, I'll tell you. You cannot do what she's doing. I listen to that guitarist. It's fantastic. You cannot do that without having thoroughly mastered the traditional disciplines. It's not possible. These people all know their stuff, but they're taking flamenco to another level, and I think that's fantastic.
You got that right. Walter, thanks for being with us on the program today.
You betcha. Thank you.
Walter Clark is a professor of musicology at the University of California, Riverside. Connection listeners, your chance to speak with Maria Pajes when we come back after the break. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. As I mentioned, cutting-edge flamenco direct from Spain here on The Connection. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from National Public Radio. In this hour, talking with the award-winning dancer and choreographer Maria Pajes about the traditions and the evolution of flamenco, something that she would not be able to do, Connection listeners, without the help of the young dancers and the musicians who are part of her company. So just before we go any further, I want to make sure that these people get the credit that they deserve. And Maria, maybe you can just go around the room and let us know who's here with you today.
Okay, we are... And we have today Chiqui. He's the percussion, Francisco Alcaide, Chiqui. We have Emilio Herrera, Jose Barrios, Ivan Góngora, the dancer of my company. Today they're here and play palmas with us. And it's Jose Carrillo Fitti. We heard the music of him, the guitar play. And Ana Ramon, she's the fantastic singer in the company.
And... of course, Maria Pajes, who is in charge of the whole lot here. I want to thank you all for coming in. We've got a number of people who want to join us by telephone. So let's go next to Hollis, New Hampshire. Paula is on the line. Hi, Paula.
Hello. Oh, buenos dias. I just wanted to say in response to a comment that you needed a guitar and a singer and a song for flamenco. Mm. And you asked whether whether flamenco could evolve. I lived in Spain for 24 years. I am a born and raised American, but 24 years ago I left and I went to Spain. And I returned to America 3 years ago. Quiero regresar a casa, no sabes cuánto. But I wanted to say that flamenco is much more than just the guitar and the singer and the song. It's a fire, it's a passion, and it's in the heart and the soul, and it's your life, and I love flamenco.
Let me ask Paula, let me ask Maria on that point. There's so much about the music that is about the passion in performing that, you know, some people will say, really good flamenco just happens when the spirit hits people. What's the word? Duende? Is that right? And yet, you're a professional. Your dancers, your musicians are professional. At 8 o'clock on the night, the curtain goes up and you have to go. It's not like you get to sit around and wait for.
You know, I think I agree what Paula said about what is flamenco. Flamenco is an art, and all the art is inside passion, and it's inside the soul. Without that, it's any art assist, a painter, a singer, a dancer, a sculptor. There has to be passion and soul to create. And it's a way to live, because the people who can create but can enjoy that, participate in all this passion and all the... And flamenco is an art who is born in the population, in the middle of the people. So, and in the middle of many cultures and in the middle of many, many passion in different ways to say that passion. So is flamenco is very rich in that way. So that maybe is so direct to connect with people. And, but the, you know what you say about duende, sometimes it's, that is true. We go to the stage and we have to dance, we have to sing, we have, and the audience is then you have to do the best because they wait that from you.
Yeah.
And you do your best. I do my best.
That's what being a professional
and,
is.
Yeah. And the magic thing of a stage is that when I go in a stage, it's different when I go in my house. I go to relax. When I go to the stage, it's a different world. And it's a start many, many things inside of me to make my state to dance, you know, to flamenco, to, so that is the thing is, it's a magic way to create the stage. So it's for that we can do that in a stage every day at 8 o'clock.
All right. Paula, thanks for that call. Let's take another from Tonawanda, New York. Julio's on the line. Hi, Julio.
Yes. Good morning. I'm a tango dancer, Argentine tango dancer, and I can relate to the whole thing that she's bringing out because we have a perennial ongoing controversies on just what we should be doing as a tango dancer. Do we stick to the old traditional forms, or is there no such thing as progress? And
what's your answer, Julio?
Well, I'm firmly in line with Maria. I do tango dancing to even ballroom type music. I can do it to certain classical music. In fact, there's a beautiful Beethoven sonata part of it that I can do tango to. Do it to Latin music, and as I'm listening to the music this morning, the flamenco, I can just vision myself out on the floor doing the Argentine tango to that.
So no rules, really, just what works.
Yeah, well, that's right. As long as we can conform to the structure, the form of the body, how we connect our frame, how we connect with our partner, that's the whole thing. And then we make up our own patterns. The Argentine is all improvised. And so as long as we have the proper framework and connection with our partner, that's all we need.
Yes. Yes, I know Julio. I have in one of my choreographies a composition of Piazzolla, and it's a tango. So it's, we can connect everybody. You know, the life in our time is that we're more open to connect.
Yes, yes.
Actually, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that if we go back, way back to old flamenco music, it's available on 78s. We can hear what people were doing, I don't know, how 60, 70 years ago, maybe even before that. But to go and look for dance that was taking place all those years ago, you can't listen to it the way you could on a record. It almost means that the choreographer has an obligation to keep thinking of new ways of doing it, because there isn't so much of the history there for you, is there?
Yeah, I think even in 60 years ago, these people, in his way, they did a revolution too. So each, I think in flamenco, in every art, every interpreter who create do a small revolution. So it's the only way to go on with art. And I have to say something. In my choreography, one of my show in Flamenco Republic, I introduce a song recording in the 30s. Because in one time I thought, I like to dance with that singer. She was so fantastic. I love the way she does this song. So I put this recording in my choreography, and I dance in the way we dance now, but we dance together with somebody who sang in the 30s.
Flamenco Republic is, in fact, your new work, and one which showcases some of the oldest and some of the newest.
Yes, that's going on. Yes, yes.
In flamenco, does it change the Flamenco Republic? Once it's finished, is it fixed, or is there room for lots of improvisation in the?
You know, I like to always make a room to improvise. Is the way? Sometimes you can't because it's made in that way and don't need improvisation to be better. But sometimes in my musician, my dancer, I have the space for that too, of course.
Have we got time to go once again to phones? We do. Good. Julio, thanks for your call. Next to Belmont, Massachusetts, Minnie's on the line. Hi, Minnie.
Hi. Maria, I saw you in the your last show about the Goya painter.
La Tirana.
Yes, and it was beautiful. And I love the way you did the braseo, the arm work. And I was curious where you studied in Spain and what teachers did you go to and some of the schools you can recommend. To learn that.
The arm work that Minnie's talking about is of course something that if even as you're listening to Maria speak in the studio here and she's gestures with her arms and I'm watching these magical arms of the flamenco dancer. Is it something that you can learn? Is it something that someone can teach you?
If I can teach?
Not you, but if say I wanted to learn, is it something I must be born with or something that I can learn in a school?
I think you have to be a dancer when you're born to be a dancer. It's something inside. I learn a lot to be a dancer too.
You've been studying since you were 9 years old. You were in the academy.
No, my first time in an academy was at 4 years old. A dancer need to start very, very soon.
Yeah.
But I feel a dancer from my born. I don't remember the first time I danced. And if you see my photo, you know the album Familiar Photos. It's very funny. I danced even when I had 6 months old. So I danced all my life. I think if a dancer need to be a dancer, of course. I tell about professional way. If you want to dance, you can learn, of course. It's a fantastic way to enjoy the life.
You know, the history books say that 100 years ago was the golden age of flamenco. But as I listen to you and to others speak about the way it's changing now, I wonder if you think we're into a new era of maybe even a new golden age of flamenco. What do you think?
I think so, yeah, because for a few years in the, how Walter said before, about political time in Spain, the flamenco was a stop, like all the arts around Spain or inside Spain, and all the demonstration or the expression was really quiet and stopped. But after that, we start to open more our doors and our minds, and I think now this is a fantastic time after the dictadura time in Spain. So probably we are in another gold era, and I'm very happy to be here for that.
And are you learning even now from the young musicians and the young dancers who come to your company? Are they bringing new ideas, new techniques?
Yeah. You know, in my company, we have dancers from 18 years old until 67. I have a guest dancer in my company. He's 67 years old. So we learn everybody from one to the other one, from 18 years old to 67. It's really good time to interchange experience.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. I wonder if we have about 3 or so minutes left in the program. Can we get your musician to ask for one more piece of music to listen to?
We can hear now. Tarara is a popular song, very popular song, and we have a version of this song in La Tirana. So we can hear from José Carrillo El Fiti and all the rest of the company here.
Terrific. Thank you. I could listen to you play all day. And I should just remind our listeners, in fact, that for information about the American travels of Maria Pajes and her company on this particular trip to the United States, please visit our website. We are at theconnection.org. There you can get some information, not just about the company, but about where they're performing. And Maria, we're out of time. My chance to say thank you so much to you and your company for coming in for an hour
with us. Thank you. You know, we are in Boston all week and in the Majestic Theater, and we are very happy to be here with you and to be in Boston.
All right. Thank you so much, and to the rest of you for coming in. Magnificent music, and if I could learn to clap like that, I wouldn't have a job as a radio program host. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio.